Hello, friends. Welcome to the Seed Pod for Kids. Thank you for joining me today as we spend time with our friend Jesus. Spending time with Jesus is the best way to start your day. Let's begin our time together by praising Him. We can praise God because Jesus is our blessed Redeemer. He came to this earth to die for you so that you can live forever with Him in heaven. He also gave us the power to win over Satan and his temptations. So let's praise Jesus today.
Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Seed over this wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, highest archangel in glory. Strength and honor give to His holy.
How are you doing with the books of the Bible? Let's say them together. We're learning three more books this week. Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Sometimes it's easy to just say a book, Romans, but it's also important to know what that book is about. Romans was written by Paul, and Paul wrote the book of Romans to help people understand that the life of Jesus, it's not just about facts. It's important that we know the life of Jesus and we know what happened, but it's also important that it changes our hearts and that Jesus died for us and that that can help us to live a new life and to live a righteous life because of Jesus and what He did for us. Isn't that neat? So the book of Romans was written by Paul. Now, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, are you ready for that? Paul was also the one writing 1st and 2nd Corinthians. He wrote a lot of New Testament books. You'll keep hearing his name throughout the next few weeks. Paul wrote the book 1st Corinthians and 2nd Corinthians, and they were actually letters, kind of like an email that people send or a letter that you send to your grandma. That's like what Paul wrote. Paul wrote letters to a church in Corinth. Corinth was a city in Greece. Paul was writing these letters to the church that he helped to start. So he had started a church there in Corinth, in Greece, the country of Greece, and then after he had left, he wrote letters back to them to encourage them and to help them to keep on the straight and narrow. Sometimes they would get confused, or sometimes they would do things that they weren't supposed to do. But that is why Paul would write these letters, to help encourage them and tell them what was right and what was wrong and to stay away from. So that is what Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians is all about. Can you say that together? Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. You try. Good job. Let's start from the beginning of the New Testament. Ready? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. You are doing such a great job. I'm so glad that we get to keep learning the books of the Bible because that will make it easier for you to find our scriptures as we study our lesson together. Hello, boys and girls. Welcome back. We have another day to study our lesson together. Do you remember what's been happening this week? We have been studying about Jesus in the temple. You're right. He had just cleaned out the temple again. He had chased all the money changers and merchants and cattle, and he had chased them all out at the beginning of his ministry. And now, at the end of his ministry, right before he died, only days before he died, he did the same thing. It was just as bad as it had been before, maybe even worse. And so Jesus cleared out the temple. And then who came? Do you know? The lame and those who needed help and a healer. And Jesus helped them. But were the Pharisees very happy about that? No, they weren't. They were not happy at all. And that's where we're going to pick up today, because they were going to try to trick Jesus and trap him. Before we get started, though, what do we always do? We always pray. So let's bow our heads and pray together. Dear Lord, thank you so much for this time we have to study from your word. Please help us to understand a little more of how much you love us. Amen. When Jesus went back to the temple Tuesday morning, a crowd soon gathered to listen to him. But it wasn't long before he was interrupted. Who would interrupt Jesus? Let's find out, because the Bible says. Let's look up Matthew chapter 21, verse 23. Matthew chapter 21, verse 23. We're picking up where we left off last time. So we are in Matthew. As we've been going through the books of the New Testament, do you remember where Matthew is? It's the first book of the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Matthew chapter 21, verse 23. Once you find Matthew, then you're going to find chapter 21. It's towards the back of the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 21, verse 23. If you need more time, just pause the recording and then press play when you're ready. Let's go ahead and read Matthew chapter 21, verse 23. What does it say?
Now when he came into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people confronted him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing those things? And who gave you this authority?"
Here's the Pharisees trying to trick him. But guess what? Jesus knew that the priests and rulers were trying to trick him with that question. It was a trap. So instead of answering them right away, he asked them a question. If they would answer his question first, he said he would answer theirs. In the end, what happened? Let's read verses 24 through 27. We're going to find out what Jesus asked them and their response. Matthew chapter 21, verse 24 through 27.
But Jesus answered and said to them, "I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you, by what authority I do those things. The baptism of John, where was it from? From heaven or from men?" And they reasoned among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, why then did you not believe him? But if we say from men, we fear the multitude, for all count John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus and said, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things."
The people who were carefully watching and listening probably looked at each other and smiled. These Pharisees are kind of squirming in their robes. They don't really know what to answer. The proud scribes, priests, and rulers had lost much of the people's respect for them. But was Jesus trying to embarrass them? No. He was sad that they were being so stubborn. Oh, how much he wanted to save them. Last summer, we were driving along a road in a very rural area. That means there weren't a lot of people around. Where we were driving, there's a lot of stray dogs. It's very sad. Many, many dogs don't have a home. So as we were driving, there was a man walking along the road back to his car, which was up ahead. So we pulled over next to his car to see if maybe he needed some help or a ride or something. And as we pulled over, I jumped out and I said, "Hey, do you need some help?" And he said, No, there was just a dog on the side of the road back there, and I felt really bad for it. And so I stopped and I tried to give it some food, but it was so scared that it just ran off into the bushes. But I feel really bad for it because it can get hit. But I tried to help it, and it just was too scared. It wouldn't let me help it. That's kind of like what it was like for Jesus. Jesus came to try to help the scribes and the Pharisees to see that he wanted to help them. He wanted to save them. But they didn't want anything to do with Jesus. Just like that man walking along the side of the road, trying to feed the dog some food and get it so that he could rescue it and help it to find a good home. But the dog was too scared and wanted nothing to do with him. Jesus wanted to save the Pharisees, but they wouldn't let him. Then Jesus told a story about two sons. We can read that in Matthew chapter 21, verse 28 and 29. This is the story that Jesus told. Matthew chapter 21, verse 28 and 29.
"But what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' He answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterward, he regretted it and went."
So the first son was like the sinners that the priests and the Pharisees didn't like. But the Holy Spirit spoke to his heart, and he ended up changing and going and doing what his father had asked. That's like sinners who hear God's voice, and at first they don't want to do it, and then they realize, you know, I'm going to go do it because the Holy Spirit worked on their hearts. And they are so much happier because they followed Jesus. The second son was like the leaders who were questioning Jesus. They claimed that they were obeying God's law. They claimed that they would do what their father asked, but they didn't. They really weren't following his laws. Look at verse 30. This is what it says.
"Then he came to the second and said, 'Likewise.' And he answered and said, 'I go, sir.' But he did not go."
Now Jesus asks a question, which the rulers automatically answered before they took time to think about which son they were being like. Look at verse 31.
"Which of the two did the will of his father?" They said to him, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, the tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you."
Whoa! Jesus was making it easy for those proud leaders to see that they were actually obeying Satan. That those who they looked down on and thought that they were better than, those were going to be the ones in heaven. Why do you think they wouldn't change? Is it sometimes hard to admit that you're wrong? That's pride speaking. Did you know that? That's not of Jesus. When our moms or dads or grandpas and grandmas, when they show us what we're doing is wrong, we have two choices. We can choose to turn away from what we're doing that's wrong, and we can choose to do what is right. Or we can get stubborn about it. Have you ever been stubborn about something? I know I have. And you just are like, "Oh, don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me that. I'm doing the best I can." But is that a proud heart speaking? Or is it a heart that's humble, that can take correction? Jesus was trying to show the scribes and Pharisees that what they were doing was wrong. And they had two choices. They could listen to him and follow him, or they could go against him. Which way did they choose? They chose to go against Jesus. Which way are we going to choose today? Are we going to choose to follow Jesus and be on his side, listen to his commands and do them, even if it's hard? I know I want to do that, don't you? Well, let's pray and ask Jesus for help because we cannot do it on our own. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you will give us the power to do what is right. That when somebody corrects us and shows us that what we're doing is wrong, you will give us humility and grace to look at that and say, you know, I think you're right. I see some ways that I could change and I could improve. We want you, Lord, to change us in our hearts. It only comes from your Spirit living inside of us. So we ask that you will be in our hearts today. Amen. It's time for our memory verse song. Are you ready to sing it? It's a short one today, right? God loves a cheerful giver. God loves it when we give cheerfully. That's what he wants, is a happy, cheerful heart, not someone who says, oh, I suppose I'll give because God wants me to, or I suppose I'll give because then God will bless me. No, that's not what God likes. He loves it when we give happily and give cheerfully. So I want you to go ahead and sing along with us.
2 Corinthians 9, verse 7.
God loves a cheerful giver, a cheerful giver, a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver, God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver, a cheerful giver, a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver, God loves a cheerful giver.
The Bible story material used in today's devotional podcast has been used with permission from My Bible First. If you would like your own copy, please visit My Bible First at www.mybiblefirst.org or call 877-242-5317. For more information about this program and others like it, check out the description below.